Is this the saddest music ever written? It's Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. It's a composition a lot of music lovers would name as the saddest music ever written. And that includes Thomas Larson, who called his book The Saddest Music Ever Written. And Strange Champs asked, really?
Well, my gosh, it has such a profound and deep sound that I think hearing it for the first time has struck the majority of listeners with something they've never encountered before, and I think that's this sort of sustained sorrow over about 8 or 9 minutes that is rarely found and held in a piece of music. I call it the saddest music because I think the piece's history in American culture has been one of playing it at funerals and memorial services. And I think pound for pound, more tears have been shed with this piece than any other piece in the history of our country. So that's one reason why I call it the saddest.
You know, it wasn't originally written as a funeral piece, but it has over time come to be regarded, as you said, as the quintessential music to play at memorial services. How did that happen?
Barber originally wrote the piece for a string quartet in 1936. He orchestrated it in 1938 for Toscanini. Toscanini premiered it on the radio. And then 5 years later, he recorded it. So when Franklin Delano Roosevelt died in 1945, in April, it was a Thursday, and the radio stations sort of went mute for a moment. They didn't know what to do. This was one of the first media events that sort of required the stations to stop their normal airplay, obviously, and pay tribute to this man who was obviously the center of the country. The war was still going. The Depression had finally ended. So in paying homage to him throughout that day and that weekend, radio engineers reached for plaintive music. And one of the pieces they played, which they so happened to know because of the Toscanini recording, was Barber's Adagio for Strings. And it got played and repeated that weekend, just probably dozens of times. And the music was then stamped with this sort of pedigree that it was funereal in association.
Now, it's been played at lots of other big national memorial services, the memorial service for the Challenger astronauts who were killed, the service for the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing, dozens probably of memorial services for the victims of 9/11. It was also used recently in a movie. Oliver Stone used it as part of the score for his movie Platoon, a very different setting. How did the music work in that movie so filled with wartime violence?
Back down there!
Well, the music becomes, as with any good film, really part of the texture of the whole. Scholars call this use of music and image together. They call it a sound image, in which you see an image, you hear music, and you also hear the ambient noise of whatever's going on in the scene. And in Platoon, the Adagio just saturates the film along with the sort of the story of the fighting against the Viet Cong, but more importantly within the platoon itself. And then you also get this other layer of the helicopters and the gunships and the arguments and the men screaming and the bombs going off and the radio dispatches. It's just an incredibly layered film. And the Adagio does this service of, in a sense, boldly contrasting some of the film images. It sounds like the film is actually grieving the war as we're watching film clips of the war itself.
Thank you.
what's so curious about this is that Barber wrote what has become one of the saddest pieces of music ever written at what must have been a very happy time during his life. He was 26 years old. He was in love. He was vacationing in Europe with the love of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the sadness come from?
Where did the sadness come from? It's a great conundrum. You know, a poet friend of mine once told me that the thing about artists is not so much they need to be in a state of feeling, but they need to have, in order to produce good work, but they need to have access to feeling. He said, interestingly, that he understood that what had probably happened to Barber was that he reached a state of contentment. And he could access that deep emotion that was in him. He was a melancholic and very serious guy. But it took a kind of a contentment, a balance, a stability in his life for him to be able to go there. In other words, I think it's a myth that artists have to be wildly happy in order to write wildly happy music. Certainly we know stories about Beethoven and composition of some of his greatest pieces, which he wrote counterintuitively. You know, times when he was in the deepest despair, he also produced some very joyful music, such as the Ninth Symphony.
How does the piece work? What is it that Barber did as a composer to make the Adagio so expressive of grief and sorrow?
Someone once commented on the Adagio that it sounds like a piece of music that could have been written in any of the previous five centuries. And what that basically means is that it sounds kind of medieval in spots because it uses a kind of a chant, the repetition of a chant-like melody, which repeats itself in full three times. And yet there is a kind of romantic sound to the inner voices between the strings. Of course, with the orchestra, you have five different levels of string players. There's also the harmony is, I think of as modern because it is very lush. It's not a harmony that anyone, Brahms might have used those kinds of harmonies, but no one before Brahms. But then it has this sort of unresolved quality to it that Barber amplifies in the piece. So it often sounds to people, and I think this is its treasured aspect, it sounds so primal to the species. It sounds like something we could have been singing listening to in a monastery in the 14th century, as well as it works so beautifully in a contemporary choral concert, for instance.
And it kind of, as you said, it doesn't resolve. There's a way in which it leaves you suspended in this kind of long period, present period of mourning.
Yes, it reaches this remarkable climax about three-fourths of the way through. There is this big, loud, screaming chord, triple fortissimo for a very dirge-like and quiet piece. It just sort of explodes. It stops. There's 6 seconds of silence, of course, which is the loudest moment in it. And then it starts up again, and this fourth time through, it just sounds and almost feels exhausted with itself. And Barber, it's sort of, he's trying to find a way out of the piece. Before he ends it, he sort of starts it up again, but it doesn't quite get going. And it has this kind of four-note benedictory conclusion, which doesn't conclude. He sustains a single emotion, call it a kind of a passionate melancholy, over 8 minutes that very few composers either try to do or have the guts to do because the movement, of course, just sort of dies of its own exhaustion, and we're sort of glad for it. It can't go on any longer, and yet it holds us in that emotion long enough for us, I think, to feel the depth of grief.
Thomas Larson is the author of The Saddest Music Ever Written, The Story of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, and Strange Champ spoke with him.